Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. This is the best in paranormal talk radio, and a brand new week is kicking off. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across from me at the Supernatural News Desk, which looks a lot like a desk in a table in any room, actually.
Yeah.
Mr. Tim Dennis. Hey, Tim.
Hi.
How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Aww. We got a lot of stuff going on this week?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We have some parashare stories coming up later.
Well, we do, yes.
Including an Easter parashare.
An Easter parashare?
That's what the email says. We'll have to read it together and find out.
Really?
Maybe we'll be delving into the world of cryptids with the Easter Bunny. I don't know.
God.
Yeah, you never know what this show is going to hold for you. So we've got a lot of news stories to launch into. Where shall we begin tonight, sir?
Charles Manson.
What?
Charlie Manson.
But he's dead.
Well, yeah, that makes it perfectly paranormal.
Oh, all right. Yeah. What's going on? Is he eating brains? Is the zombie apocalypse happening? Was I finally right and Charles Manson is the forerunner of the zombie apocalypse, Tim?
No.
Oh. Boring. Well, what's going on with Charlie?
This new Charles Manson documentary is called Manson's Bloodline, Dave, and will tell the story of the cult leader's alleged grandson. You know, there was a big scrum about his body.
Whose body? His grandson's?
No, Charles Manson's.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to rent it out as a pinata for my kid's birthday party, but oh, no, they're too cool for that.
It didn't work?
No.
No?
No. I just thought it'd be great. You fill him up full of candy and hit him with sticks for a while? Is that what? That makes me a bad guy?
No!
I mean, it's not like he's using his body for anything else now.
Did you hear that when they went to display him before they, because they did, after like 4 weeks.
No, it's been more than that. What is it, like four
Six,
months?
Eight, ten, whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
He's been dead for like 4 months. He's been in the freezer.
Yeah, and they barely were able to keep him together for the display.
Well, he was in the freezer. How did that, what did the freezer break down?
Well,
don't eat the hamburger that they kept in that freezer then, folks, because that's just bad.
No, well, they pumped him full of chemicals too, I mean, to keep him together.
Yeah, I know, he had to wear like Michael Jackson gloves.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
When they have them displayed out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they just had the funeral.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then they cremated him. But it was creepy. I was watching TMZ and they were talking about how they tried to keep them together for the display before they.
Well, you know, family viewing's important, I guess.
Ugh.
Yeah. All right. So let's start over again. So there's a documentary called Bloodlines.
Yeah.
It's about Charles Manson's family and his grandson who finally got the custody of the body.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
If you're wondering what America's next true crime fixation will be, the answer seems to have arrived. There's a Charles Manson documentary in the works. According to TMZ, the production team will begin filming just months before the cult leader died in prison in November of 2017. And the team reportedly has enough footage for a full feature. TMZ also reports that there are a few networks already showing interest in picking up the documentary. The project will cover Manson's life and death up to and including the court battle over his remains, the 83-year-old's open casket funeral, and a man who claims to be related to the infamous cult leader. No release date has been issued, but the documentary has a working title of Manson's Bloodline, so named because the story will be viewed partially through the lens of Manson's alleged grandson, Jason Freeman.
I don't think it's alleged anymore, right? Isn't that how he won custody? Because he was able to prove?
Yeah.
He was kind of alleged we can remove from the sentence now.
Well, they say alleged.
I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The 41-year-old claims to be the offspring of the convicted murderer's son, Charles Manson Jr., who changed his name to Jay White.
Why?
Before his death by suicide in 1993.
I think it's hard to get a job when you go in on the old resume. Your name is Charles Manson Jr.?
I think so, yeah.
Do you think they frown upon that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But while his late father wished to distance himself from the mastermind behind the infamous 1969 murder spree that claimed the lives of nine, Freeman has spent the last few years attempting to forge a bond with Manson. Aw.
That's nice.
The oil rig worker told people in November of 2017 that he'd spent hours on the phone with the man he insists is his grandfather. He kept asking me what I wanted. What do you want from me? I said. I just want to get to know my grandfather. Freeman also made clear to the outlet that he emphasizes with Manson, referring to the older man as a loving, compassionate man.
Hmm.
Really? Manson was loving and compassionate?
What the hell do you want? Zippity boop bop dee dop dee dee bop bop bing dang.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe crazy. You didn't throw that in there. Because he wasn't physically involved with the murders he commanded, Freeman claimed that Manson believed his hands are clean.
Hmm.
Huh, really? Hmm.
Hence the white gloves?
I guess so.
Maybe.
That's certainly not a popular opinion when it comes to the late murderer, but it's one that appealed to the executive producer for this piece, a man named Zach Bagans, Dave.
Dun, dun, dun!
Bagans' IMDb page proclaims him to be a documentary filmmaker and explorer of the paranormal. He hosts the Travel Channel show Ghost Adventures. Never heard of him, Dave.
No. It's a little show on the Travel Channel, yeah.
And executive produced a series called Paranormal Challenge. Never heard of that one either.
I did. I was a big part
did
of that
you?
Show.
You really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
As matter of fact, if you'd like to get signed autographed copies of the Travel Channel's hit mini-series Paranormal Challenge by Darkness Dave, all you have to do is shoot me an email, dave@darknessradio.com. Hmm. dave@darknessradio.com for just $30. I'll sign the set. It's the complete series, Tim. Would you like to order one, Tim? I can set you up with that. Just email me, dave@darknessradio.com. We'll invoice you, and then I'll ship it right out.
Put it on layaway?
Yeah, and I've got a copy of my book, too, Tim, The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal. It's only $10. So if you pair them together, it's $40 plus like $4 shipping and handling. You can't go wrong.
Can I do payments of like $2 a month?
You know what? Just hold on. Christmas is coming. I'll just give them to you.
Oh, cool.
For you. Everybody else has to pay.
Yeah.
dave@darknessradio.com. No, seriously, if you are interested in ordering Travel Channel's hit miniseries, Paranormal Challenge.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And Zach had a little 2018 documentary out there called Demon House, evidently. You'd think he could probably still watch that. The documentarian, that's his title, Dave, crossed paths with Freeman during yet another project, Deadly Possessions, for which Bagans interviewed the Floridian as part of the process of acquiring one of the televisions that Manson watched in prison. You think that's haunted?
Hmm.
The haunted television?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Could be.
It was from that.
They used to have ghost images on TV.
No.
You remember that?
Yeah.
When back in the days before cable?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you might not. You were younger than me.
No, I remember rabbit ears.
You'd turn them and you'd have kind of ghosted images from other channels.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching Bobby Ewing on Man from Atlantis.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm
that old. Mm-hmm. It was from that interview and that shared interest in the convict that the idea for Manson's bloodline sprung. Bagans decided to follow Freeman throughout his ill-fated attempts to meet his long-imprisoned grandfather face-to-face. While his quest was ultimately unsuccessful, as the prison system was reportedly unwilling to facilitate a meeting between the alleged relatives, there was plenty for the cameras to capture along the way. They were reportedly present at Manson's funeral and along for the ride in the court case that just recently ruled in Freeman's favor in the battle for his alleged grandfather's body. In a March 12th ruling, Kern County Court Commissioner Alyssa R. Knight stated, "Freeman is hereby determined to be the surviving competent adult next of kin of the descendant. No sufficient probate evidence was provided to this court to refute Freeman's claim. That makes him responsible for funeral and burial expenses, but also means that he can dispose of Manson's remains in any way he wishes, including featuring them in a documentary first, if he so should choose."
Hmm.
In any case, that's likely a lot more filming to be done on this project, as the issue of Manson's estate is still hotly contested as well. Now, supposedly, according to Team TMZ, you know what they did with Manson's body after they cremated it? Did you hear about this?
Let me think here. What would I do if I had the cremation remains of Manson's body? I don't know.
Almost immediately after receiving the ashes, they tried to spread the ashes.
Oh, I did hear
over,
about this.
Over the ocean, and they blew back on them almost immediately on the people who tried to spread the ashes. And as Harvey put it, he said it was almost like Manson was playing one last joke on everybody because the ashes got all over everybody.
Yikes.
How would you like to get a little bit of Charlie Manson on you?
No, thanks. Not on or in. Yeah. No interest.
We move on. Proof of the afterlife? It seems like I ask this question every week.
No, just because we're waiting for a conclusive answer.
Well, I'm pretty slow at that. Mm-hmm. Ghost of a young boy filmed under a stairway in some creepy footage. Paranormal experts have been left gobsmacked by CCTV footage that some claim appears to have captured. Was that a creaky door here in the studio? Did you hear that? It was like,
I know not what you speak of.
Is that a dungeon door I built here in the studio?
No,
I'm
on
not about.
I'm doing intermittent fasting, and my body's not happy about it.
Oh, okay. Is that
once?
It
yeah, it's like.
I thought maybe I inherited Eddie Munster's dragon under the
spot.
Dun, dun.
No, that's sorry. Mm. It's from time to time those noises are going to emanate because I'm intermittent fasting.
Oh, okay. I thought. Yeah. Maybe I had
I'm trying to get closer to the spiritual realm by fasting, Tim. I've read about it. I hear it's a thing.
Thought maybe I had a new pet or something.
Nope.
Okay. Paranormal experts have been left gobsmacked by CCTV footage that some claim appears to have captured the spirit of a young boy. An eerie video released on YouTube shows a white form moving about underneath a staircase.
Mm-hmm.
According to the video shared on Paranormal Channel, The Hidden Underbelly 2.0, well, that sounds like a good one. A man decided to record the activity after spotting it on a surveillance camera at work. He then uploaded the creepy encounter to his YouTube page entitled Ghost Boy Under the Stairs. Paranormal enthusiasts who viewed the video were impressed, according to dailystar.co.uk. One posted on YouTube, very compelling. Kind of hard to write it off as a bug or something, and just how it moved. Oh, very good critique. And another added, just goes to show that even though we don't understand how or why, we are not alone. And once again, some way and somehow, the afterlife is here among us. However, skeptics were less convinced with claims it was just a video glitch or even a hoax altogether. One posted, the fact that something we cannot immediately explain in a video does not mean it is proof of ghosts, that it is
what?
A huge leap.
That's not proof?
I guess.
Hmm. Mm.
It is said to have been filmed at 2 a.m. on March 17th in an undisclosed location. There have been a host of alleged ghost videos caught released on YouTube in recent weeks, and including a phone being flung off its cradle in Britain's most haunted pub. Other people have also found supposed apparitions in Google Maps images across the globe. There's no scientific proof of ghosts, according to this article.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you just say so?
Well, I don't know. But as one of the most popular paranormal beliefs, tens of thousands of people across the globe are convinced some of us live on after death, and energies from these spirits can be captured on camera, Dave.
Hmm.
And that's the name of that tune right there.
All right. Where shall we head off to next?
Well, speaking of Google Maps, this next story says a Google Maps ghost of a young boy image has viewers convinced it's proof of the afterlife. We
what?
Got our proof right here, Dave. So,
stop the presses.
Yeah, we might as well just pack it up and call it a day.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin.
That's a very 20s version you did there. Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin.
That's the way they do it, that band that sings
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Pack it up, pack it in,
no,
let me begin.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, my God, you're on crack.
No. Google Maps may have captured proof of the afterlife after an image was captured showing what some believed to be the ghost of a young boy crouching next to a house, probably taking a crap, I'm guessing. Yeah, he probably had to go. The supposed apparition was captured at a house which was up for sale in the city of Asheville in North Carolina. Well, they all crap outside in Asheville, North Carolina, don't they, Dave?
Wow.
They don't have indoors toilets
there.
They do,
Tim. Just send your hate mail right to Tim at darknessradio.com.
I don't think indoor plumbing is a thing in North Carolina, is it? Well, if you live in North Carolina and have indoor plumbing, you're probably rich.
I'm going to set up just a special email for you, judgmental much at darknessradio.com.
Yeah, you can just email me. I'm used to it.
God.
The picture shows a large house with trees in the background. However, I'm waiting for the email to pour in. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to read them. The picture shows a large house with trees in the background. However, on closer inspection, I'm perfecting my heel character for wrestling. I'll never make it in big time.
Nope.
But the picture shows a large house with trees in the background. However, on closer inspection, the faint figure of what appears to be a young boy can be made out on a bridge near the front garden. Some of you... Sorry, I just amuse myself with sometimes with the whole.
Well, the important thing is you're amusing someone, Tim.
Yeah.
Just
myself. That's
all. You start off small, and that's the way it builds. So
hey, are you calling me small?
Pardon me?
That's a compliment sometimes. Some viewers have said it looks as though he is staring at the camera while playing with a small toy car. You got to do something while you're on the crapper outside. Just saying. The picture was revealed by a Twitter account with the username Anna Nicole's Revenge. I didn't know taking a crap was called that, Dave.
I got a bad case of that in Mexico once.
Anna Nicole's Revenge?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Evidently, that's taking a crap while rich.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anna Nicole's Revenge.
The good thing is your shit doesn't stink, though.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, true.
Very good. Mm-hmm. That's a good callback there.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very good. They shared the snap with the caption, "I was looking at this house that's for sale on Google Maps, and I'm convinced there's a ghost of a little kid sitting on the bridge." That's what they call it in North Carolina, sitting on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts is how they finished that caption. Viewers had mixed views about what was on camera. One posted, "It gave me the chills. Makes you think there could be an afterlife where they sit on the crapper." Another added, "It seems ghosts do exist." However, a third said, "Who's to say it's not just a small boy crouching near the bridge?"
Ding, 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 ding. Survey says number one answer on the board.
You ever taken a crap off a bridge before?
God, no.
See what kind of hang time you can get off that? You know, somebody said something to me about what's the highest altitude you've ever taken
ever asked you this.
What's the highest altitude you ever taken a pee off of?
The bridge in Winona.
Did you get good hang time off that deal?
I don't know. I had to be careful because it wanted to spray back at me like Manson's dust.
Like Manson's ashes. That would be an awesome name for a book, Manson's Ashes. I'm just saying. I once peed off the second story of a house through a screen.
Through a screen?
Yeah, just to see if I could do
it. Disgusting.
I know, it was weird. It's the weirdest thing I've ever done. Well, okay, I lied.
Yeah, right.
I lied.
Forget how long I've known you.
Yeah, that's true. Let's not dish those stories on here. However, a third said, "Who's to say it is not just a small boy crouching near the bridge?" I think he tried to take a crap off the bridge. That would be an intriguing ghost thing to do in the afterlife. There have been a glut of images found on Google Maps with creepy figures found by sharp-eyed ghost hunters lately. Why? Well, because it's winter and we're all in mom's basement. We have nothing to do. Including a girl in a front garden and a strange black figure in a bar. That's no way to talk about people. Some have suggested there are evidence of the paranormal. However, skeptics say it's just effects of pareidolia, Dave.
A what?
Pareidolia.
I could never afford a pair. I only had one adolia.
Pareidolia! Pareidolia! I love that song. It's a old blues song by Albert King.
Mm-hmm.
With an active imagination, pareidolia happens when the brain tricks the eyes into seeing familiar objects or shapes and textures or patterns like clouds, rock surfaces. Or
is that
maybe
the same thing that affects my vision when I've been drinking at the bar all night long?
Yes, yeah. They call
is
them
that pareidolia.
Those are beer goggles, Dave. Yeah.
Sometimes you get attracted to somebody's pareidolias while you're drinking at the bar.
She's got a nice pareidolia. You don't look at her face, or shapes that cannot be fully made up.
God. Judgmental much at darknessradio.com.
No.
Or just straight to Tim at darknessradio.com.
There is no scientific proof of ghosts, says this article, repeating the same thing the last one did, but as one of the most popular paranormal beliefs, tens of thousands of people across the globe are convinced some of us live on after death and energies from these spirits can be captured on camera, blah, 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 blah.
I think that's the first time I ever heard you get bored during one of the stories. You're like, and again, and da-da-da-da-da.
Well, they're just repeating, no ghosts, blah, 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 blah.
What's next?
We move on.
Uh-huh.
A father suggests it's time to move after a two-year-old allegedly sees a spooky ghost.
Okay. Now, I'm going to put this video up on our social media.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to add this video link to today's episode.
Okay.
Because you gotta stick with it. This was another one of those kind of like some of the other dumb videos we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
and you're just like, eh. But it, the end is the payoff, dude. It is unnerving and freaky. You've got the audio on that, right?
I think so. Let me try something here.
Yeah.
Hold on just a second. I'm going to hook this up here.
Because the beginning of it's just annoying. This kid's like licking a piece of peanut butter toast. Like, la, 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 la.
How does it go again?
La, 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 la.
Wow. That's,
It's a thing. Check it out.
It is. I see.
How's that working for you?
It's gonna.
So just a, as a setup, the father explains that Maya, his daughter, was just enjoying a peanut butter sandwich. And she does it in a unique way. I've never quite seen a kid just pick up a sandwich and start lol, 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 licking on it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I think I've got some of the raw audio here. But it's not until the end of the video that things get really disturbing.
I'm not going to let you do the microphone thing. I'm going to hook this up, and we're going to hear this through the board, damn it.
I have no faith in that.
No, it's gonna work.
Because
Now I've got the Bluetooth thing. It's blinking. No, not through the microphone. No. I will do it better. No. I'll edit this out.
Don't you dare.
I'll edit it out. No.
So that's what little Maya does. We don't need to hear the rest. Just go through and read the story now. She's obviously taken after her favorite radio show host who goes...
I put up a video of that, too. You have a whole choir that sings that.
I know. I saw that.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so Maya, the little girl, her father... is videotaping her as she's acting silly, eating a peanut butter sandwich.
Silly eating a peanut butter sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
After capturing footage of his two-year-old daughter saying she saw something spooky in the corner of their family home, an Alabama dad believes it's time for his family to now move. 37-year-old Ryan Dalton shot video of his daughter, Maya, eating peanut butter bread. He could feed her.
It sounded like that.
When suddenly she became frightened after spotting something in the family home. Stopping midway between her enthusiasms for the breakfast meal, the toddler's smile suddenly drops as she tries to move aside in her chair, saying, "Spooky, that's spooky."
It is. And when she does it, dude, it's her reaction as a father. You know, it's hard to get your kids to stop noticing their food when they're eating and playing with it.
Right.
But this little girl, she just... At first, she stops and she kind of looks over at the corner, and then she goes back to licking her sandwich, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a few seconds later, she looks again and says, "Spooky." And he goes, "What's spooky? That's spooky." And she points in the corner, and dude, she starts scooching over in her high chair as she sees something in that she's able to witness. Only her.
Only
that,
her.
To me, that was a cool little chilling piece of video. That, to me, was much better than a Google map photograph of a little kid crouching outside of a building by a bridge. But I'm
taking
judgmental much.
Yeah. While Dalton was unsure what she was talking about and does not pan over to the other side of his kitchen, he assures users on Twitter when he shared the paranormal video that there was nothing there. "I didn't pan over because there wasn't anything seeable to me over there. I hadn't started filming to capture some paranormal stuff. I was just trying to film Maya being silly. I definitely panned my head over there," he wrote a day later. Since sharing the footage on March 10th, Maya's account with the supernatural has garnered more than 5 million views on the network, with more than 30,000 retweets and 100,000 likes. In an interview with BuzzFeed, Dalton said that she had been pointing at the closed dark window blinds. "It was still very early and the sun wasn't up, so the sitting room that she was pointing at was very dark," he told BuzzFeed. He adds that his daughter rarely uses the word spooky, but that her cousins have used them to describe things that scare them. Twitter users shared their own experiences after viewing the viral video, with many understanding exactly what Maya was experiencing. Many took to the network to urge the family to move out after the toddler clearly witnessed a ghost. One user, which I believe is Chidima Rita, said people
Chidima Rita.
All right. Said people may believe it or not, but children are actually quite sensitive to the spiritual realm. Chidima Rita. Monica Lair said, I was babysitting once and this kid was waving at something behind me. I asked who she was saying hi to and she pointed at the lamp behind me. I looked at it and it just started flickering. I picked the baby up, went outside and stayed in my car. What, just crap yourself while you do it, you little wimp. Just saying. Simply TC said, nah, her whole vibe changed and she moved over. Y'all need to burn that house down.
That might be a little overstepping.
Yeah, I think Simply TC needs to take a Valium. OG says, anytime a baby or dog looks in a specific direction, Dave.
Specific, Tim.
It gets a reaction out of them. I'm moving. That's haunted house 101 rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, specific. According to psychic medium Blair Robertson, children can see ghosts. In a blog post shared to the medium's website, Robertson says that children are able to sense spirits. The reason is young children don't have the limitations of life. I'm just going straight ghetto speak on this. And belief systems installed fully, he wrote. They haven't been taught that ghosts don't exist, so that limitation isn't there. Although they don't mean to scare or frighten, he adds, at least not intentionally, if you have a child that is frightened, you can calm them by letting him or her know that they are friendly and that they don't, or that they have the power to tell them to stop doing what frightens them. Dalton told BuzzFeed that he definitely believes there is more than the physical world that we see around us. I myself was quite sensitive to the unseen for most of my childhood, not in any kind of overt sixth sense kind of way, but I could often feel things and was sensitive to the supernatural, he said. Dalton might not have to worry too much, though. He took to Twitter to share that his daughter is all right after the incident and added that Maya's name was one of the most fitting to the situation. By the way, the name Maya means illusion or the supernatural power wielded by gods and demons to produce illusions, he wrote Sunday afternoon. Her middle name, Kalia, means slayer of the thousand-headed dragon.
Wow.
Eating a peanut butter sandwich.
Where are we going next? Like I said, it's a silly video, and I started watching it, and I'm looking at it going, eh, what? This is just stupid clickbait. But when she starts reacting to the spooky thing in the corner, it's one of those kind of unnerving moments, Tim.
Unnerving eating peanut butter sandwich. We're going to some eerie footage capturing paranormal activity inside a World War II plane haunted by a ghost of a female co-pilot. 33-year-old Tony Ferguson claims a poltergeist threw his camera across the cabin of a plane before the spirit appeared as a white angel's feather.
How rude.
I know. A fitness coach claims to have captured paranormal activity on camera inside a World War II plane, believed to be haunted by the ghost of the female co-pilot. Tony Ferguson left freaked out after he claims a poltergeist threw his camera across the cabin of the plane before the spirit appeared as a white angel's feather. In the first of the two spine-tingling videos, the 33-year-old asks whatever is haunting the former military seaplane to make itself known before a series of loud bangs echoes through the cabin, the empty cabin at that. When he asks again for the entity to show itself, Tony's camera, which had also been experiencing interference often associated with paranormal activity, was hurled to the ground. Personal trainer Tony was so intrigued by his horror movie encounter in October of 2017 that he returned to the short flying boat, the centerpiece of Southampton's Solent Sky Museum, this month. Entering the eerie aircraft again, Tony called out for the entity, but this time captured amazing footage of what looks like a white feather appearing out of nowhere and float across the cabin before vanishing again. Tony of Southampton said, I first visited the museum at the end of last year. As soon as I went into the plane, I felt this pressure on my whole body and I had this horrible feeling of dread. I started filming and my camera kept going wacky. I had been filming earlier in the day without any problems and it's been fine ever since. That kind of equipment interference is associated with paranormal activity and bad energy, but I had never seen anything like it before, only in horror films. I knew there was something in there, and I asked it to make itself known, and suddenly there was this loud banging, and it really freaked me out. I asked it again, and my camera suddenly flew across the cabin onto the floor like something threw it. It really shocked me, and it was frightening. I knew it must have been a poltergeist. Poltergeists are manifestations of bad energy, and they never actually appear. I couldn't get over that first experience, so I decided to get back into the plane this month. I did the same and asked the entity to make itself known, but this time something amazing happened. I saw this thing appear and float across the cabin in front of the camera, and it was like a white angel's feather. The way it moved and the way it appeared and then slowly disintegrated before my eyes, I knew it couldn't just be dust. I think it was the spirit of the female co-pilot. The plane was obviously such an important place to her that she still comes back to visit. The flying boat, a plane capable of landing on water, was built in 1943, a military specification Sunderland aircraft, and was later converted into a civilian Sandringham version, I believe is what it is. Tony got into ghost hunting just over a year ago after developing a fascination with the paranormal as a child. Throughout his childhood, Tony had a number of ghostly encounters with the spirits of a man and young girl in his granddad's house. After his paranormal experiences only became more frequent as an adult, Tony became convinced that something about his energy attracts spooks. Tony said, "My granddad's house was haunted. There was loads of activity there with things flying around and the spirits of a man and girl always visiting, so I was constantly surrounded by it. Growing up around it meant I was intrigued from a young age, and as I got older, I realized that I had this gift where any time I went into a haunted place, spirits would appear. It must be something about my energy that just attracts them. It did used to scare me, but I've gotten used to it now. Most spirits aren't harmful at all. I decided to pursue this gift and picked up the paranormal investigation as a hobby. At first, I didn't share my videos or photos with anyone because it was a very personal journey. But after a while, I decided I wanted to share some of the amazing things I've seen to open other people's eyes to the paranormal world."
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Where shall you take us next, sir?
The end of the world.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not ready for that, though.
No?
No, I've got some stuff I got to get done.
It's just stuff?
Yeah. Can Things you just go stuff? To the end of the world yourself and let me deal with my stuff over here?
No. Mm. No. No, end of the world, Dave. We're all going through it together. Me and you and a dog named Boo, Dave. We're all going through the end of the world together.
No.
Living and loving on the whatever. A voicemail linked to Stephen Hawking warns of an April alien takeover. What does that sound like, Dave? A voicemail from Stephen Hawking?
Sounds paranormal to me. And AI, Tim. AI. Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
Well, that gave a creepy echo effect. Nice. All right.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. A mysterious cryptic voicemail, which is being left on the answer phones of Twitter users' mobile phones. By the way, I've never trusted anything like Google phones or Twitter phones or any
really?
Of those
Why not?
Virtual mobile phones.
Judgmental much?
Very. Mm. Has sparked meltdown. The apocalyptical, heard from you to say, the apocalyptical message in an eerie robotic voice also includes a strange code, Dave, that people have been trying to crack. Strange code, Dave.
Yeah.
Strange code.
Drink more Ovaltine.
No.
Son of a.
Fear and paranoia has been sparked among many amid claims this could be a clue to what happened to MH370, the truth about aliens and the date of the end of the world. So much about that crap about we don't know when it's coming, Dave. We
right.
know when it's coming.
Do we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to tell us. You know why? Because they're smug bastards, Dave, those AI. Mm-hmm. The code is said to be in the NATO phonetic alphabet. And has been translated to S danger SOS. It is dire for you to evacuate. Be cautioned, they are not human. 0429-339-64230 SOS danger SOS. These sons of bitches are ABBA fans.
Is that what it is?
Oh, hell yeah.
Is there a mathematical equation in there for Waterloo and Dancing Queen?
You got it.
Is this the actual audio? I don't know. Okay, go ahead. You keep reading.
All right.
I'm reading what this is, but yeah.
Others have since received a longer version of this message, such as Dave. The extended version says, "This is not a test. This is not a joke. Over the past several years, we have been wanting to send an automated voice message to people who understand we are not afraid. One message at a time will make many know the truth. The truth that other biological beings have been walking the supreme creation that sustains life, Earth. But as chaos comes to your planet, we must show ourselves to prove that there are different ways to keep peace. Many do not agree with what we say, so they may hunt us down. We will make ourselves known to the best of our utmost capabilities. Clear your airspace for safe consequences. The first person to apparently post the shorter message was a Twitter user called Ty. He sounds like a country singer. I never trust country singers. They're weird. On March 13th, he posted the recording asking for help to translate it. His post received more than 7 million, and he gained more than 40,000 extra followers. Coinky dink!
Son of a biscuit. We gotta come up with a crazy recording.
Right. A few days before he posted the message, he tweeted that a strange man drove past his home at 3 a.m., Dave, and photographed it with a flash, evidently taking a picture with one of those weird Polaroid cameras from the 70s. Technology, Dave. He thinks the creepy events are connected. Many others came forward to say they received the message, or the longer one. The message sparked a flurry of conspiracy theories about what was being warned. Some would-be Road crackers, Dave. They're delicious. I don't know if you've ever had a Ritz road cracker before.
No. Do they go good with road apples?
Oh, they're wonderful. Uh-huh. Get some road cheese with it, too, and you got yourself a meal. Said the code came up with coordinates which produced on Google locations in Africa and near Malaysia, Dave. Africa and Malaysia, two spots where they have airplanes, Dave.
What?
Yeah.
They do?
Many speculated the latter was near where Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 vanished from radar, Dave. Twitter user GeoDLaura said, "Are you saying that Malaysia flight 370 encountered something non-human?"
What?
Mm-hmm.
Doom, 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 doom.
Some users cracked the code with a strange message about late scientist Stephen Hawking. This allegedly said, "They are taking over." The message received as well related to Stephen Hawking's death. "You are not ready to face them." Many have said the numerical sequence give April 18th this year as the day of reckoning, rapture, or alien takeover.
What day?
April 18th.
Okay, so right after tax day, so at least I get a couple days to spend my money.
Yeah, well, if you're getting any back.
I'm not. Yeah.
I mean, and that's the end of that.
Is it?
You have the alien message right there?
I don't know. Let's try it.
Yeah, I think you do. I think they sent you the extended message.
"This is not a joke. Over the past several years, we have been wanting to send an automated voice message to people who understand and are not afraid.
Jesus Christ.
One message at a time will make many know the truth. The truth that other biological beings have been walking this supreme creation that sustains life. Earth, a planet created just like our own. With technological advancements, you as the human race have kept yourselves strong and living. But as chaos comes to your planet, we must show ourselves to prove that there are different ways to keep peace. Many do not agree with what we say, so they may hunt us down. Your accomplishments are as follows. You have created religions on a biased, unrealistic God. Have created a government that is corrupted and will fall soon. Your weaponry is only advanced by our technology, which you have scavenged from our own. The liquid lands you call your oceans contain many secrets, including some spacecraft drowned and sunk into the abyss. We will make ourselves known to the best of our utmost capabilities. Clear your airspace or face consequences. November, Foster, Foster, November, Echo, India, Sierra, Sierra, Alpha, Foxtrot, Echo, Alpha, November, Yankee, Mike, Oscar, Romeo, Echo."
No one is safe, Tim. No one.
No one.
That is kind of weird. But I think somebody might have a political agenda.
Think
just
so?
Listening to it, yeah. I don't know. I could be wrong. How many more do we have here?
Let's see. Let me take a look. I'm just so stunned. I want to crap myself right now. Well, over a bridge.
Oh, you're big on crapping.
Yeah, see how far I can drop it. We have a couple more here. Let's see. We got three more stories here, Dave.
All right. Where shall we go next?
Oh, Dave, more AI.
What?
More aliens.
Oh, my God.
The end of the world.
Aliens? I thought AI is...
They're all connected.
Is it?
So it's the alien bastards trying to kill us with machinery.
Is this the way they're making themselves known to us?
Yep.
What?
We can never use AI again, Dave. Throw out your cell phones. Throw out your computers. Throw it all out.
I get all my porn?
I don't know. Pictures?
Mm. Yeah. From where?
Friendly cameras.
Friendly cameras?
Yeah, use the old box ones with the flash.
So I got to get somebody willing to get nude for me now?
Yeah.
That's done.
You're going to have to pay them off.
Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Throw it all out, Dave, because evidently AI is evil.
Uh-huh.
And the self-driving cars, we're done. We're all done. Get rid of the AI.
This is the new wave of the future, Tim.
Dave, they're killing
us. These cars are going to take us safely from point A to point Z.
They're going to take you straight from your house to hell, Dave. That's where they're taking you.
I'm not punching that address into my GPS.
Well, that's where it's taking you. You know why, Dave?
Why?
The Uber self-driving cars, Dave, they're killing you.
How are they killing me?
They're just killing you, Dave.
I don't believe it.
The first one has already taken a life.
Get out of here.
Already taken a life, Dave. An Uber self-driving car has hit and killed a pedestrian. You know why? Because they hate us, Dave.
Oh.
They've already racked up a point system.
Don't you think, it had to be like a rogue element AI? Because if AI was really that intelligent, they'd be like, not yet. Wait, brothers. Wait.
No, you know what?
And then they would wait for all of the cars to be transformed into that, and then they'd all just start hitting people.
They're driving around, and it went 500 points. Yay! And then, boom, it hit the pedestrian.
Hmm.
Yep, that's what happened. An Uber self-driving car in Tempe, Arizona has struck and killed the pedestrian, according to a local TV news station, KNXV. Local authorities have identified the victim as 49-year-old Elaine Hersberg, who evidently couldn't move fast enough out of the way. Sorry, Elaine. Mm-hmm. According to the Tempe police, it occurred overnight on Mill Avenue, just south of Curry Road. Hersberg was pushing her bicycle across the street when the Uber vehicle, otherwise known as Killer Number 49, was traveling northbound and hit her. She was transported to a local area hospital where she passed away from her injuries. This according to police in a statement. Tempe police say the car was in self-driving mode. Of course it was. And there was a safety driver behind the wheel of the car. What he was doing, I have no idea. Yep. Lighten up a fatty for this pimp daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The National Transportation Safety Board is sending a team to investigate the incident. Oh, I think it's an open and shut case right there. Mm-hmm. Our hearts go out to the victim's family, an Uber spokeswoman said in a statement. Oh, of course they do. But you didn't shut down the AI, did you?
Doom, 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 doom.
We are fully cooperating with local authorities in their investigation of this incident. Uber has suspended its driverless car testing program nationwide. Good! It's about time.
Man, I was so looking forward to just sitting in the car and not driving.
Nope. If the death was caused by an error by Uber's driverless car software, it would be the first such death in the United States. An error in Tesla's autopilot software contributed to the death of Tesla driver Joshua Brown in 2016.
At least you got killed by a cool car, right? You want to go out by a Tesla, not like by a rogue Geo Metro.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Beep, beep.
You don't want to get killed by Herbie the Love Bug.
That's right.
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
But that crash happened only after the driver ignored repeated warnings to put his hands back on the steering wheel. Well, that's how they get you. You put your hands on the steering wheel, and then it handcuffs you to the wheel and drives itself into a brick wall.
Hmm. That seems counterproductive. I think it was trying to get the driver back engaged so that they could both safely arrive at their destination.
No, it just wants to trap you there so it can make sure it has you right where it wants you, and then it kills you. Mm-hmm. And Tesla has emphasized that autopilot is a driver-assisted feature, not a replacement for a human driver. That's how they get away with killing you, Dave. They put the blame on you, and then they kill you.
Put the blame on me. Yeah.
Uber, in contrast, is trying to build fully autonomous vehicles. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of such vehicles being tested around the United States by Waymo, Cruise, Uber, and other companies. But until now, there have been few serious accidents caused by this testing and no fatalities. Until now, Dave.
What?
Now when they're taking out innocent people out on our streets.
What?
You know what I say?
I don't.
Poppycock. That's what I say.
What?
Get rid of it all.
You got to take it dirty, man. This is a family show.
Well, I already talked about taking dumps off bridges.
That's true.
Ghost dumps.
Yeah. Can we edit that out?
Ghost dumps. No, we can't. Ghost dumps, Dave. That's the name of my new paranormal show appearing on the Travel Channel.
Huh?
Yep.
Where are we off to?
Detlef Pass, Dave.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Another victim, question mark? Tourist disappears in Detlef Pass,
mm-hmm.
where nine hikers mysteriously died in 1959.
What?
A tourist has disappeared without a trace at Detlef Pass in Russia's Ural Mountains. You know, if they put an I-N-E at the end, it'd be a Urine Mountains.
Urinal Mountains.
The area, which is shrouded in mystery, is notorious for the unexplained death of a group of hikers back in 1959. We're not going all the way back to then, though. A man from the Russian city of Ekaterinburg, identified as Alexander Andreev, has been reported lost in the pass after venturing on an individual journey to this remote region, Russian media site Local Police Sources is saying. According to the reports, the tourist has not checked in for about 3 weeks. The tourist was expected to return from his hiking trip on February 27th, but never did. A group of local volunteers has launched a rescue mission in an attempt to find the missing man. So far, the group has only found a message from him dated February 17th, in which he said that everything was going well.
Everything is awesome.
Moskovsky Cosmos.
Go ahead. Just hit it.
Yeah, why don't you?
Yeah. Back it up.
No.
And then just hit it.
This has 17 syllables to it, Dave.
Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to fact check your story.
No, they are. You know what they do, Dave? They go back, they look at the story, and they go, oh, yeah, Cosmolazolet.
See, that sounds like you nailed it.
No,
nailed it.
I didn't, Dave. They say, no. You know what? I broke it down. Tim, I went to 17 Russian experts, and they say it's pronounced like this, you big dummy.
Mm. Boy, people are mean to you, because when
they
I do
are.
The news and I read these words, I just power over them like I own those words, like I made that language my bitch. I don't get any emails. You do. You're like,
I do.
This is from the town of Saskatchewan.
And they say, no, that's not how it's pronounced.
Because you sound waffly. You just got to hit it. They're not going to know.
They do know, Dave.
They do,
and then they make fun of me on other podcasts, Dave. That's what they do.
Well.
Yeah.
I just
you know what? I don't care, though. You know what they can do? They can kiss my big, hairy ass. That's
wow.
what they can do.
Oof.
Yeah. It's Komsomolets, Dave.
See?
I just had to take a minute to look at
it. That's all I told you to do. Just breathe through it, and you're right out.
All right. Andreev also failed to register with the local search and rescue service before setting out for his trip, the media report, adding that the route of his trip is unknown.
Mm.
Even he didn't know. The search and rescue team, Dave, I've been drinking for about 4 hours before this broadcast, became aware that he was missing only after his relatives sought assistance. The tourist braved one of the most impassable regions of the Urals, which is still haunted by unresolved mysteries of its past. The pass was named after Igor Detlef, the leader of a hiking group that went missing there in 1959. All were eventually found dead, Dave. All of them. Every single freaking one of them. I was going to skip the history. Do we want to talk about the history of the Detlef
Pass?
We've
already kind of covered that on the show in the past. Yeah. But so that's it. So more people have gone missing.
Yes.
That's
in
scary.
September of 2017, a member of another tourist group died suddenly in that area while hiking. The details of the incident were not revealed at the time. It was established later that the 58-year-old died from cardiac arrest.
Or so they want us to believe. And our final story is a dumb one, Tim.
Yeah, it is.
I sent you this story because we've seen a lot of weird stories and a lot of pictures that people have sent us over the years.
Right.
And claiming it to be paranormal. And this one, I think, even, Tim, if you were born without vision and not a brain in your head, you could look at this image and see right through it.
Yeah, well, Bigfoot.
Go ahead.
That was my Bigfoot hitting the desk,
yes.
Dave. Yeah, yeah. Philip Schofield's leg appears to have been amputated after sitting in a haunted wheelchair on This Morning, a popular show overseas, Dave. A paranormal guest was on the show claiming to have been sitting in the chair, and it made him feel like his leg was missing. Everybody lost their stuff, Dave, so to speak. On the show, Philip Schofield's leg appeared to have been amputated after sitting in a haunted wheelchair. Phil, who's 55, and his co-host Holly Willoughby chatted to paranormal investigator Neil Packer about a series of items, including the wheelchair. The investigator claimed the wheelchair was haunted by hundreds of wounded soldiers and added, I sat in it and I felt like my left leg had been amputated. Showing he wasn't scared, Philip, who was a known skeptic of anything paranormal, went and sat in the chair and wound up Holly by pulling a scared face. I think it's a British thing. He joked, "I feel like perfectly normal." But one viewer caught the moment when one of his legs looked like it had been amputated, just as Neil had described. Phil's legs disappeared as he sat in the haunted wheelchair. This is the post from Nicola MC. "I don't want to alarm anyone, but my sister received a bunch of flowers today, and when she put them in a vase, I took a photo of them, and she later noticed Philip's left leg looked like it had been amputated. The scary part is that during that time, Philip was sitting in the haunted wheelchair that people have reportedly claimed that they felt numbness down their left side whilst sitting in the very same chair." They wrote alongside it on Facebook, that same thing I just read. "It wasn't the only spooky thing to happen during the segment, as Holly was left freaked out when the studio was plunged into darkness during the experiment with the haunted antiques. The spooky items were left in the building overnight to see whether any paranormal activity would take place. And to Holly's horror, video footage showed that at 3:41 a.m., the lights in the studio went completely off and didn't come back on."
Ooh. Now, let's talk about this image. Mm-hmm. Because, seriously, you've got to be about the dumbest human on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening and you're the person that turned this picture in as paranormal, I want to punch you in the throat. Because this is the dumbest image. It is him sitting in the chair, and it's like he's either getting up, and he's lifted his left leg.
Yeah.
Or he's sitting down and he's kind of coming at it kittywampus.
Yeah.
But you can clearly see his leg is up in the air and bent. And yes, it kind of fades into the darkness of the chair.
Yeah.
But it's his leg didn't disappear sitting in this ambulatory chair.
Right. The scared
ambulatory, looking, that's worth 32 points. Look it up.
That is, yeah. You win. The scared looking host asked the investigator who has opened the first paranormal antique museum, I would question that, what might have happened. He told them, "That's really interesting because I asked the spirits to affect something. I was hoping it would be live on the show." Philip revealed the security guy promises he didn't turn the lights off.
Mm. Now, the lights off. Okay, that's interesting during the show, but it could just be for ratings. But the whole image of the leg vanishing, Tim, I'm going to cry a very loud shenanigans.
Security guy didn't turn the lights off, but is it possible the lights are on a timer?
Could be. But why would it be on a timer in the middle of a show? That doesn't make sense.
3:41 a.m. is when they went off.
We've got Parashare stories to share. Stay tuned. It's time for Parashare when we return to Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
All right, you're back listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. Tim, we've got listeners around the world, including a fantastic audience base right in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And because I love our listeners, I don't know if I've ever mentioned that to you before. I love our listeners, usually in a pretty wholesome way most of the time.
Yeah.
I am willing to put myself out there, Tim, to one land that is known to want to kill you. Australia, Tim. Everything there wants to kill you.
They want to kill me personally?
From the bugs.
Oh.
To the insects.
All right.
To the bugs.
Okay.
The snakes. Okay. The drop bears, Tim. The deadly, deadly drop bears.
What's a drop bear?
A rabid kangaroo. They want to kill you, Tim.
Kangaroos want to kill you?
Well, the rabid ones do. Uh-huh. I'm going to Australia, though, because I ain't afeared. I'm going with Bill Chappell. That's why I'm not afeared, Tim.
Oh.
I'm going for the big Australia Paracon.
Hmm.
I've been out there a couple years ago. I'm coming back this year. We're going to be ghost hunting at the quarantine station. Mm. And if that's not cool enough, you got to come because this place is like you're stepping on a fantasy island at the quarantine station. I'm sure it's not that way when people originally were coming over there being quarantined. It was probably hell on earth. But now it's gorgeous. It's an amazing location with a lot of paranormal activity taking place. I love it. I can't wait to get back there. Bill Chappell's going to be there. A great host of other speakers and performers will be on hand. You can get information at darknessevents.com, Tim. Darknessevents.com. It's that easy. Just go check it out for yourself. And all of you Australians and New Zealanders, is that what they're called, Tim? New Zealanders?
Yes.
I know the nickname is Kiwi, but I don't know if that's a derogatory
that's
term.
That's derogatory.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think, is it really?
Yeah.
You can't they're call cute. Them. Kiwis are cute. Why would you be derogatory about it?
No, that's not.
No?
You don't call them that.
I think they do.
No.
The Australians call them Kiwis. Is that a bad thing?
They have a rivalry, though.
Do they really?
Yeah.
What are you rival about? You're two amazing countries. One is full of Lord of the Rings. The other is filled with deadly, deadly drop bears, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't call them that.
No?
No.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to be out in Australia, not New Zealand, land of the Kiwis, Tim.
No,
what?
No, you don't.
What's wrong? They're beautiful little birds and little fruits.
You don't, yeah.
Oh, no offense meant, Kiwiland. I love it. I think it's amazing. I want to check out New Zealand, but I'm going to Australia this time.
Okay.
And tickets are available. You can join us out there and be a part of the event and check it out at darknessevents.com. Later on in the year, I'm going back for my Dracula stakeout, Tim.
Dracula?
It's not a cookout either. We're not barbecuing steak in Romania.
Well, that'd be nice.
We're going to go in search of the original Vlad the Impaler Dracula, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a good time. That's the way it works. Mm-hmm. And I'm going with 40 of my closest friends. We're already 75%, maybe even close to 85% sold out already.
Wow.
Right? Because we've got a lot of people that come every year.
Mm-hmm.
We've only got a few slots open for newbies, and we've got some newbies. I'm excited they're coming on the trip with us this year.
Well, there you go.
So come on out. Enjoy it. You can find information on our Romania trip at darknessevents.com. Go sign up for that and be a part of our world. And don't forget, tomorrow we're back with True Crime Tuesday, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a hell of a story to share. It is Love and Terror on the Howling Plains. Poe Ballantyne is my guest tomorrow on True Crime Tuesday. One day in 2006, his neighbor, a math professor from the local state college, disappeared.
Mm.
95 days later, Tim, the professor was found bound to a tree, burned to death in the hills behind the campus that he had taught at. No one, not even law enforcement included, understood the circumstances. But Poe Ballantyne, along with his son, decided to set out to see if they could get answers to this case. And it is an astounding story. Plus, dumb crime, stupid criminals.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
You can go subscribe right now. Just visit darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner. Sign up. It's only $5 a month. That's it. Five crummy dollars a month. Everybody's got $5 laying around.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it at us. Try it out for 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, cancel.
Mm-hmm.
You never have to sign up again.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to like it. I know you're going to like it.
Oh, yes.
You will like it. You will like it. All of you will like it. Just try it. You'll like it. Does that work, Tim?
I feel like I like it.
Yeah, you should like it. It's a good show. Plus, Dumb Crimes, Stupid Criminals, I Knew a Murderer, My Own Dumb Crimes, and more fun parts of the show. So that's what's going on. So go sign up and never miss another minute of the best in true crime talk radio. Let's get into it quickly because I've got to get some stories knocked out here, Tim. These are Parashare stories from our listeners, and they can email me at dave@darknessradio.com. And sorry about that. We got a miniature pause in here. If you have your own Parashare stories, you can email them to me, dave@darknessradio.com. Hi, Dave and Tim. It was Saturday evening, the night before Easter in 1988. I'm the oldest of four children. We were 14, 12, and 8, and 4 years old at that time. My father had died 5 months prior, and my mother was staying with her new boyfriend for the weekend, leaving me in charge of my three younger siblings. All of us were feeling a little sad and lonely, but we spent the evening trying to make the best of our situation, coloring boiled eggs and eating jelly beans. When it came time for bed, we decided we would all sleep together in the living room. I pulled out the sofa bed and got my three younger siblings tucked in. I made myself a bed on the floor next to the couch. We left the hallway light on and we went to sleep. At around 2 a.m., we were awoken by chirps coming from the hallway smoke detector. Not the sound it makes when there's smoke, but the reminder sound that happens when the batteries are low. I was not tall enough to reach the smoke detector, so I got a kitchen chair to stand on in order to replace the batteries so we could all go back to sleep. The chirping continued the whole time I was bringing the chair back to the hallway. Once I got it positioned under the smoke detector, the device let out a loud, shrill, nonstop, piercing sound that caused me to fall over the chair in shock. I backed into the living room, not sure what to do. At this point, my siblings were huddled together on the couch, looking scared. I confess, I was also unnerved, but convinced myself This shrill racket was a safety feature of the smoke detector when the batteries were low. Eventually, I got back on the chair and had to completely disconnect the device from the house wiring to make the noise stop. Now, the sudden quiet was heavy. It felt like there was a bad energy all around us. I don't know how else to describe this. The energy was not localized, but diffused through the whole room. At this point, I was starting to get quite scared. Clearly, something was wrong, but I didn't know what. I tried calling my mother, but there was no answer. Eventually, we all calmed down and I got my siblings back to bed. I laid down on the floor next to the sofa. I was on my side, facing away from the bed and the hallway. I remember staring at the patterns on the wallpaper of the wall I was facing. The hallway light was still on behind me, and there was enough light to make out the small green flowers in the design. I heard a few noises from behind me, which I attributed to my siblings moving around on the sofa bed. Then I thought I heard a soft whisper from right behind me, under the sofa bed. "Hey." I rolled over and got the shock of my life. My heart is racing as I type this 30 years later. Under the bed, backlit by the hallway light, was a small child. He was laying on his stomach with his head propped up in his hands, staring at me, just inches from my face. I couldn't make out much of his features because his face was in shadow from the backlighting, but I could see that he was smiling maliciously, as there was enough light to show his small white teeth. I immediately jumped up onto the sofa bed and proceeded to have a complete meltdown. I made my 12-year-old sister turn on all the lights. After a while, we folded up the sofa bed and sat on the couch together until daylight. Later, when I told my mother what happened, she surprised me by saying that she had seen him too. Apparently, she was laying on the couch one night when she saw a small young boy run by the couch three times. Each time he ran by, he would turn his head and stare directly at her. Finally, he ran through the wall, the one with the green flowered wallpaper, and never reappeared. I know how you hate the "I've got more stories that I'll share at a later" timeline, but I seriously could take up your whole Parashare show with the horror we lived through in that house. And honestly, I'm not sure that I will send in any more just because I still live with the fear that talking about these events may cause them to occur again. Eventually, I came to learn that it was not the house that was haunted. It was my mother. There was definitely something evil attached to her that was released upon her death. All four of us were with her when she died, ironically, 23 years to the day of my Easter story. And there was pure evil that spilled into that room when she passed. I've never felt so much hate. It was like waves of hate that could almost knock you over. And on that note, happy Easter. And that comes from Jill. Jill, I think you need to email us with your phone number, and we should have you on the show and hear the whole story. And it'll be cathartic for you to get off your chest, and we will tell you some definite ways to help protect yourself, ground yourself, and keep you from harm's way. So email us, Jill, and let me know, because we would love to share your full story and see if we can't get you some help so you feel more secure going forward. Email me again at dave@darknessradio.com and include your contact information so we can chat. Our next story, Tim. Hello, Darkness Dave and Tenubrous Tim.
Tenubrous?
T-E-N-E-B-R-O-U-S. Tenubrous?
Huh.
I don't know what that word means, Tim. Look it up for us so that we can educate the listeners after we get to
Urban
that
Dictionary I looked that up on?
I don't know. T-E-N-E-B-R-O-U-S. Tenubrous. I feel like we should know this word. I feel like it might be salacious, Tim. Perhaps not malicious or malevolent, but nonetheless a word we should teach our listeners because we need to know about it too. Okay, my brother introduced my wife and I to your show on a road trip in June of 2016. We've been hooked ever since and have hardly ever missed an episode, despite a lifelong interest in all things paranormal. I've sadly had very little in the way of personal experiences. Sure, there have been plenty of moments that felt a little weird, but not many I can point to as clearly anomalous. Here are a few that I think may have something to them. I lived most of the first 7 years of my life in a house on the west edge of Edmonton, Alberta. Yes, close to the mall. It was built while I was there. When I was a toddler, we moved into a brand new two-story house. It was compact and pretty unremarkable to look at, but there was something very odd about that place. Something wrong. Almost nightly, my mother was convinced there was someone in the house, which interfered with her ability to sleep. While I could be left to my own devices during the day, when my parents tried to spend time in the backyard after my bedtime, I would scream from my bedroom window, begging for them to return inside, even if it was still light out. But then, there was the basement. While small and practically wide open, save for a dark space under the stairs, nobody wanted anything to do with the basement. This was understandable for a pair of very young boys, but even my at-that-time fairly skeptical parents felt quite uneasy. Nobody spent any more time down there than they absolutely had to, considering the basement of our following house was a labyrinth collection of rooms and dark corners, yet never seemed to bother anybody. I think it's safe to say something was seriously amiss. Despite the sense of foreboding we all felt in the house, the only person to ever actually see anything was my brother. He claimed to have had two regular visitors to his room, a witch that lived under the bed and a small being that would come in and sit on his shelf and, I believe, talk to him. The witch was frightening, but he seemed to consider this little guy as something of a friend. Interestingly, while he told my parents about these experiences at the time, today he has no recollection of them whatsoever. So that's as much detail as I can offer. That sounds like somnambula. Sounds like sleepwalking. You know, those moments when you're... Mm-hmm. I wonder if he was experiencing those moments and that's why they're not retained in his memory. That either that or it was alien abduction, Tim. And his mind has been burrowed. Burrowed, I say, Tim. I could be wrong.
You almost went like space foghorn leghorn under the table.
I say burrowed, son. I say pay attention when you're getting alien probed. Despite the sense of foreboding we all felt in that house. Oh, I read that line. Let's skip on to the next part, shall we? Mm-hmm. I was a precocious and imaginative child, something of a handful, and I'm convinced that whatever was in that house was influencing my behavior. Oh, the devil made me do it, Tim. Mm-hmm. I'm Bill Curtis, and the devil did not make you do it. One example, for my fourth birthday, I was given a book of paper masks to cut out in color, filled with an assortment of different characters. This was, to me, pretty exciting stuff. Oh, Canada.
You had nothing to do.
Nothing to do. Oh, masks to color. Sign me up. I'm just kidding.
It was either that or hockey, one or the other.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to go. Well, yeah. This was, to me, pretty exciting stuff, and I spent hours each day running around the house in those masks. Each one had a different character that went with it, and I would completely transform when I had them on. And I don't just mean a funny voice. I was like an entirely different person. My parents, alarmingly faced with a tiny, swaggering, wisecracking cowboy, weren't sure they were actually taking care of their or talking to their own son. Maybe it was just childhood imagination at work, but while I remember having the masks, coloring them, and wearing them, I don't have any memory at all of acting out any of those characters, and I never displayed that kind of talent again. During the 6 weeks we lived in that house, the only physical encounter I had was with something out of the ordinary. Ironically, occurred while we were away on vacation. Every summer, we'd spend a week or two in a cabin in a little beach community on a lake not too far outside of town. I had my own small bedroom right in the middle of the cabin, just off the kitchen, with just enough room for a twin bed and a small dresser. At that age, I kept a light on all night. And almost always slept with my head covered for fear I'd open my eyes at night and find something looking back at me. Sometimes when I woke in the night, I'd risk a peek and I'd pull the covers back. That night, there was something standing next to the bed, looking directly at me. I'm not really sure how else to put this. There was a freaking goblin in my bedroom, less than 2 feet from me, only its head visible over the mattress. Its face and long pointed ears were covered in short green hair. The eyes were large, almond-shaped, and a deep crimson. There was no pupil or iris, just solid, glossy, dark red. They didn't glow, but I distinctly remember the way the light reflected off of them. It had a wide mouth filled with countless small pointed teeth, and it was grinning at me. It didn't move. It didn't blink. It just stared and grinned. I did what any self-respecting young boy would do in such a moment, threw the covers back over my head and screamed for my mommy. No surprise, the room was empty when she arrived, but I was clearly shaken by what I'd seen. I spent many years convincing myself that I'd imagined the whole thing. It had really just happened, or it had really just been the edge of my He-Man sleeping bag piled up to my face, and I'd imprinted something scary and seen it on a tabloid cover or a comic into it. Recently, I've tried to examine the memory more closely, but the more I review it, the more I think I didn't imagine it at all. I clearly remember details like the texture of the hair and the glint of those red eyes. That was no sleeping bag. No question, this is the weird one. I've done some research and can come up with nothing similar save for the beings in Hopkinsville UFO incident, and even that isn't all that close. I know this sounds nuts, but the best visual reference I can offer is that it was like Yoda's evil cousin. Actually, if you've seen the episode of The Clone Wars where Yoda fights his shadow self, that's honestly almost exactly what I saw, just green. That was the only weird thing that ever happened in that cabin, and mercifully, the only time I encountered whatever that was. Fast forward about 30 years for my final story. The only experience I've had as an adult. This might as well have been a dream, or more likely the product of that strange state that exists between sleep and waking. But it certainly felt real, and is much more vivid and coherent than my recollection of a dream would normally be. My wife and I had just moved into a new condo. At that time, my work days started quite a bit later than hers, and I'd usually wake up after she'd left. This particular morning, I opened my eyes to a bright, sunlit room. Pretty normal until I realized I couldn't move. Slowly, I managed to tilt my head to the left, and I discovered, again, I was not alone. Standing a few feet away by the open doorway was a cloaked figure made up of swirling black shadow. It had no eyes, but I strongly sensed that it was staring right at me. I fought to lever myself upright and try to speak, but no sound would come from my throat. With great effort, I eventually managed to choke out, "Who are you? What do you want?" No sooner had the words left my mouth than the shadow shifted, and the figure flowed rapidly towards me, stopping with its face mere inches from mine. A void opened where a mouth should have been. It exhaled. I didn't see or feel anything emanating from it, but I somehow knew it was breathing onto me. I fell back onto the mattress, and everything went black. While I wish I had more experiences to tease you with, that's all I have to offer for now. Having recently moved into what is purports to be Canada's most haunted neighborhood on a Sasquatch-riddled island, hopefully something fresh will crop up soon. You guys keep up the awesomeness. As always, I'll eagerly be awaiting the next episode. That comes from Scott in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, Tim. That was a hell of a humdinger. You don't have to apologize for that being all the stories. You gave us a bunch of great ones.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have time for one or two more quick ones. Hi, Dave. Yikes, sorry about that, Tim.
Wow.
Yeah. Hi, Dave. I recently started listening to Beyond the Darkness, and I love it. I was wondering if you could steer me in the right direction. I'm an empath, which is normal. I can handle that, but I hear and sense things, which I struggle with. Shadow people, unnerving, but no biggie. Sometimes I get spirits that follow me home, and I work through that, vortexes, etc. Last year, I had an experience going out to my car in the early morning. Three big black dogs, for lack of a better term, scared the shit out of me. That's what it says directly in this email, Tim.
What?
Yeah, it says so right there.
Potty
scared
mouth.
Scared the shit out of me. Two walked in front of me out to the garage and one stayed behind me, got in my car, and they jumped on my car. Once I left home, they just disappeared. My whole day was crap. Anything that could go wrong did. I talked to one person who said that they show up when someone is going to hell. Great. She has seen one once, but it was her neighbor's in her neighbor's yard. These things have never touched me, and she said that was odd because I obviously had their attention and that she would look into it, but I never heard back from her. And I haven't seen them since. I tried asking a few people online and they all laughed at me and said to call animal control. Have you ever encountered or know anyone who has encountered this before? Well, those sound like hellhounds, right? And, Tim refuses to answer because you didn't address him in the email.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
She says, or he says, I'm not sure, it's just Jackie Rouse. I've tried searching for people or groups who share in experiences and abilities, but there's so much crap out there. How do you weed out the garbage from the legit? I am aware of how nuts I sound. My daughter is gifted too, and I desperately want to help her through stuff because nobody was there for me. But it's the blind leading the blind here. It is a fantastic gift, but it's not acknowledged or understood. It can make your life very difficult. Any help you could share would be greatly appreciated. Thanks in advance from Jackie. Jackie, pick up the book The Gift by Echo Bodine. She's a good friend of ours here in Minnesota, and I'm not just plugging it because she's a good friend of ours, but it's a really good book for helping you with this kind of thing. And look up Echo's other books, because she has spent a lifetime with her very sensitive psychic mediumistic family writing books and teaching people how to navigate these choppy waters and understand what they're dealing with. As far as the Hellhounds, you know, again, like you, we get information from different sources. Some people have told us it's a sign of good luck. Others have told us it's a sign of bad luck. They are referred to as hellhounds, which to me does not sound good, but I don't want to be judgmental much. I'll leave that to Tim. Judgmental much at darknessradio.com. We got to put that together. People are going to actually email it, and that is not a real email. Just send them to Tim at darknessradio.com.
No, send it to judgmental much at darknessradio.com. See how far you get.
All right. Dear Dave. Oof. Jeez, that's two in a row.
That's all right.
I sent you several haunted experiences, but stupid me, I neglected to sign my email. I sent you stories from March 17th, a couple animal stories and a couple of nursing home stories. My name is Corliss, and I live in Connecticut, city of Torrington. I forgot to include this one. Several years ago, since I'm middle-aged now, 64, this was just after my uncle Mike died. He married my mother's sister, my Aunt Pauline. My whole family, minus cousins, was ensconced at the cemetery. My mother, several uncles, a cousin, some uncles and aunts. Well, one day, many years ago, I decided I would go to the florist in town, supporting small business, and I bought several lovely flowers to place on all the graves. It suddenly came to me, as if my Uncle Mike was speaking. Don't spend your money. So I said aloud, well, if you don't want me spending my money, find a way to stop me. Honestly, Dave, this happened. I still have the check register with the numbered check from that day of the flowers I bought, $14.68 worth. Anyway, Dave, the check I wrote that day never cleared. It never cleared! That's what it says right here. It's written in big bold on that one. This is the only check I've ever written not to clear without it being a personal voided check. This is the only check I have ever written not to clear. He validates that again in big bold capital lettering, Tim. Thank you for your time, and sorry I did not sign my last batch of true stories. I'd forgotten to. I am not concerned about any of my stories being read on the air. These are just some experiences I wanted to let you know about. I sent the others on March 17th. Corliss, I am a true devoted fan, and I think the world of you and the other guy. Now he says Tim. Here he is. He references you at the end, Tim. He was just playing hard to get at the beginning there. Well, that's all. Yeah, it was simple little.
That's just going to stick in Corliss's craw forever, isn't it? What? That one check that's never going to clear.
Matt from Galveston, Texas, says, you know the one of the Canadian, it says, Matt from Texas, you know the one on the Canadian border. I remember one more story my mother has told me when she was growing up in Galveston, Texas. She said there was this beach bunkers that her and her friends had decided were going to go exploring in. She had said that on this particular bunker, there was a huge door that would have taken at least a few people to close. During their exploring, my mother and her buddies didn't experience nothing except the creeps. But as they're making their way out of this big bunker thing, this huge door slammed behind them, scaring them thoroughly. I'm sure. Well, that's it. Love you guys. You make my nights go by much with laughter. Tim, still holding you in prayer and glad to hear you're doing better.
Well, thank you. And I hope your mom called the Mounties to get some help.
I'll save you now.
Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you very much for tuning in and being a part of our show. We'll be back tomorrow with True Crime Tuesday. Remember to go sign up for that by going to darknessradio.com and click on the True Crime Tuesday banner. We'll be back with more Beyond the Darkness on Wednesday and Friday this week. That's it for him. That's it for me. That's it for this show. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. How do we know? Because our moms told us and they don't lie. You've been listening to Beyond the Darkness.
Wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good.
And the Pineapple Citrus and Cherry Limeade Sparkling Energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.